Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He's on Twitter at Eric Hasseltine. Eric, is Casa de Hasseltine ready for the FedEx St. Jude Championship?
It better be, because I won't be there.
Are you renting it out to players again?
Yes.
Can you say the players' names?
No.
Please?
Good day.
Please? So it's Leash, Cam?
It's from that general region of the world, yes.
I'm going to say...
Too many people know where I live, dude.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
What was that movie, Alpha Dog? Right? That had
yes.
Justin Timberlake?
Yes, right? Connor
and
Alpha Dogs,
based
right?
Based on that true story, and then the guy like was kind of a shyster, and so he said, we got to move. Too many people know where I live, because he was kind of cheating the guy out.
It's a deep cut movie.
Well, the other thing that was...
I like that movie, by the way, very
Connor,
much. I thought
it's,
Timberlake
yeah, it's
was
for, an action, movie. It's yeah. Connor and I love the Fly on the Wall podcast. It's with David Spade and with Dana Carvey. And Spade was talking about, like, he bought a new house. Like, this was kind of early, and it's, like, this weird reality of the world we live in. He's like, I barely signed the papers, and stories are already up on the internet exactly where I live, like, what I bought. Yeah. Like, that, I feel
public
like
record.
That's just, like,
it's
that's the
record.
World.
People that want to look it up, yeah.
Do kids know what a phone book is anymore? Like,
no,
you know, like
I just actually just talked about that in my basketball camp. I said, once upon a time, it actually was with my son. I was talking to him about bullying, and there was once upon a time that we had phone books and in the white pages, because my mother's last name was different than mine. My name was listed in the phone book on our,
for our
phones. So
yeah.
This kid that it's embarrassing to say, but like was kind of picked on by our group, called me, and I answered the phone and I said, no,
how
you
did
have
you
the
get my number?
No, I knew how he got it. And I said, no, you have the wrong number.
Love it.
And he said, no, I looked it up in the phone book. I said, I get that call all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
it
happens.
It sounds just like you. And I said, it's not me.
Sounds like you were pretty good on your feet even then.
I was pretty quick. I got to admit, I was pretty quick-witted. But I felt awful about it later on. So I was explaining to my son about that because he asked me a question pertaining to a book he's reading for the summer.
Well, oh, God, so, summer reading.
Yeah, answer this question. See if I answered this one right.
All right.
And then we'll talk sports. He said... He asked me if I would be upset if he punched one of his friends that was bullying another kid. And I said, okay, well, my first question would be, did you tell him to stop bullying the other kid? And he said, yes. And I said, where's this coming from? He says, in the book, one character punched another character that was picking on a kid who had like a, the book is called Wonder. I guess a bunch of kids know this book. And there's a child that had a facial deformity that was in a special school and then went to regular school, and one kid is picking on him, and the kid that's picking on him, one of his best friends says, hey, you need to stop picking on him, and the kid doesn't, so he just hauls off and clocked him. And I said, Austin, if you punched a kid in the face to protect another kid from being hurt, I would not have a problem with it. Is that bad parenting?
Well, my first question, see, you asked the wrong first question in my mind. Are you bigger than him?
Look, I've told you, my son is like a second-degree red belt in karate. So, like, as he's getting older and stronger and now, like, you know, because as a kid, you work your way up and that, and it's just all technique. Now he's actually learning how to strike, and I'm realizing that when this kid's 14, I got no chance of telling him what to do, how to do it, when to do it, because, one, he's going to be bigger than me probably, and, two, he's going to know how to really hurt somebody. So I was like, if I ever see you use karate, we're going to take you back to the dojo. And the problem is, if I take him back to the dojo, I'm going to get my butt kicked by him.
Yeah, I think probably so. I think also, though, there's this reality. In the end, like, kids are not going to do, like, a checklist of what did dad say. You know, like, if it gets in the heat of the moment, like, they're just, it's boys will be boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it happens. As long as it's not just unprovoked, that's the one where, like, you can't just walk up to a guy in the hallway and
I mean, you can't sucker punch him,
I heard this line from one of my friend's older sons. He's got a teenage sister, and I watched both of them grow up. And she went to homecoming with a guy, and he comes down, and he's 24 now. His sister's 16, and he looks at me, and he goes, I don't know if I like that kid she just went with. And I said, why? And he goes, I don't know. He's just got a punchable face. And I just said, I don't know that that's a good thing to walk around the world with, a punchable face.
Wait.
I said, you're also her older brother, so you think everybody's face is punchable.
Okay. Her brother was 24. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, her brother.
I was her homecoming date was 24. I was like, yeah, there's a few follow-ups I got.
No. Her brother's 24. Her homecoming date was 16 as well.
Yeah, okay.
They were the same age.
I do think you probably nailed it there, though. Like, I feel like pretty much anyone there that shows up in that situation, older bros, probably not.
100%.
You're fighting from underneath there if you're the guy that's trying
you got no chance.
Yes.
She's got two older brothers and a stepdad that has been, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's a big dude. Yeah, it's not a pleasant experience.
Okay, so here's the question I have for you.
Yes.
Connor and I were talking about this yesterday, and I'm trying to figure out if this says something about me. I find myself not caring about Kevin Durant news anymore. Is that...
I don't.
You know what I mean? Like, there's an element of... First off, like, it's like, okay, wake me up when they move him, but then also, like...
Right.
Now you drag the Celtics into this, and it's like, I just find myself just being like, I'm just kind of over this.
Yeah, I think so, because it's been kind of a circus. I was the same way with the Ben Simmons stuff last year.
Yes.
And then they finally got to the point where it really heated up, and it was for real. Like, okay, this is now going to happen. But for so long, it was just, we're not doing this, and we're not doing that. And then finally, it goes down. And even when it went down, I went, that was it? That's what we waited for? James Harden for Ben Simmons, and basically, oh, by the way, Brooklyn also got Seth Curry in the deal, which was crazy to me. You know, but the thing was, I never expected Ben Simmons to play. So this, to me, was a situation where they realized it was not going to work with Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant, so they wanted to move off of that. And if Simmons didn't play this year, they were willing to sell to their fans, hey, we moved off of that for next year so we can have a bigger guard, so Kyrie can play off the ball and just score. Simmons can handle the ball. KD can score. Well, this is going to set us up nicely for the future. Oh, by the way, we filled the void left by the injury to Joe Harris. Obviously, it didn't work out for the Nets the way they had hoped in terms of their playoff run, and Ben never came out and played. But I was just bored with it last year. And I'm kind of bored. I'm like you. I'm kind of bored with this. Somebody texted me today. I'm running a basketball camp, and someone texted me today and said to me, they said, wow, you know, KD to the Celtics, that would be a game changer. And I text them back and said, I have no idea what the parameters of the deal is. In my head, I already knew who had to be involved, though. It had to involve Jaylen Brown, and it was questionable whether or not it would involve also someone like Marcus Smart or somebody like a Robert Williams or somebody along those lines, good young piece that can help, and draft picks. And he spit it out, and as I was about to type it out, he said, oh, yeah, it's Brown and Smart and multiple draft picks. And I said, well, yeah, that's what you got to ask for if you're Brooklyn. Brooklyn doesn't have to trade him.
Well, so
I don't see KD as the guy that's just going to say, hey, you know what, I'm done. Not at this stage of his career. I'm not going to play. Okay, don't play.
Well, that's kind of my bigger picture question.
Don't play. Don't get paid.
Do you think, and again, some of this is, you know, not everything can be some blanket statement, but I did find myself wondering, after Adam Silver makes the comments about, you know, we're not really in love with this idea with guys under contract with multiple years remaining demanding trades, is it possible this could be kind of the beginning of, you know, just because you demand a trade, we're not trading you? Like, is it possible we could have, like, a reset?
At some point, owners are going to have to put their foot down. The problem is, in reality, in my opinion, just as someone who's in the NBA, around the NBA, not in the NBA, I still don't consider myself really truly in the NBA, but I see it and hear about it. Owners win every labor battle.
Yes, they're undefeated in every sport.
They're going to win. And everybody goes, I don't understand. The players have the power. No, the owners have the power. Because the owners, literally, this is not their sole source of income in most cases. Robert Pera, if the doors of the NBA shut down tomorrow, he's not going to miss a paycheck. He's going to continue to make money in his business ventures. He makes money in his investment, which is, you know, this. That's like anybody in the real world that owns stock in, say, let's say Tesla. You own stock in Tesla, and all of a sudden electric, and your stock is not going to, it's not going to disappear. It's going to stay the same price, but you're not going to collect any more dividends off of it. Well, you had to have the money to buy that stock. If you're living off only your investments, then you're an idiot. You sank all your money in there. But if you probably did it as you were making money in your career, and you're still going to be making money in your career. So if Tesla said, hey, our stock is going to level off and even out, it's just going to stay right here for the next 5 years, you're going, okay, well, I'll just keep it, and hopefully it'll go up in 5 years, right? So when these labor disputes happen, the owners are going, and most of which at the time, at least of the last true lockout,
yeah,
was, you know, back at, 10 years ago?
It was either 2010 or 2011. It was one of those
years. I want to say it was 11, 12. And we started in 12. So 10 years ago. You know, they basically said, cool. Like, there's 16 or 14 or 12 owners that are not making any money. This was before the massive TV contracts. So we're happy to close the doors. Our vote is we close. We shut it down until things get back in order. And then the players miss that first month of paychecks.
Yep.
And the players are getting paid by the game, miss that second month of paychecks. And they go, whoa, hold on. My bank account's a little light right now. Maybe I should get back to playing basketball. So that's where the owners win, always. They hold all of the cards.
I mean, we see the same theme in baseball every time. You know,
right.
It's the same thing. It's like they miss a month of game checks, and all of a sudden, here we go. Let's go back to the table.
And the CBA is structured so that, you know, look, I will give the owners credit. Owners, in my opinion, have come a long way overall. Because, you know, we're talking back in the 70s, 60s, 50s, before that. They were ruthless. They were like, oh, you don't want to play? Okay, cool. I'll go find somebody who will.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're Mickey Mantle. I don't care if you're Fred Mantle. I don't care if you're Willie Mays. I don't care if you're Willie Mays Hayes. If you're not going to play, I'll go find someone who will, and I'll sell tickets. I remember being in Colorado when the Rockies' first ever game at Coors Field was played with replacement players against the Yankees in a spring training game. We were there with our college lacrosse team on our spring trip. I was on the injured list, and I seriously debated skipping our game and going to the opening of Coors Field because there were tickets available. I realized if I did that, I would never sniff the field in my next 2 years of playing, and not that I was going to be a star or a starter, but I was going to get
time. Yeah, but you'd prefer to play.
Yeah, I'd prefer to not practice and be told
Correct.
Every day, nice decision. That wasn't the smartest thing to do. But I remember people going, well, I'm not going to go and watch replacement players. I'm like, I'm not going to watch the game. I'm going to look at this brand new ballpark.
Yeah.
But the owners were ready to do that with baseball. They've done it in other labor disputes, you know, replacement referees, whatever it may be. Owners generally hold the cards. So I think what this is getting to is the players are trying to take some power back, and where the owners can take the power back, but it's a big, big roll of the dice, is give fewer years on contracts. And that may be the thing that they fight for next in the next collective bargaining agreement. All right, well, if you guys are going to take these 5, 6, 7 year deals, the Supermax deals, and then 3 years into it or 2 years into it, when you have 2 or 3 years remaining, you say, I don't think I want to play for you anymore. Okay. And then you're really in a tight spot, because as an owner, you are selling a product. You know, if you're Robert Pera, you're selling the Memphis Grizzlies. And you know that your fans don't care about, you know, the labor disputes and all those things. And truthfully, it's a first world problem when you're an owner, because your fans don't make nearly the money that you have. But you're investing in something that's now going, yeah, I don't really think I want to perform. And you can, you know, kind of hedge your bet against that by giving 3 instead of 4 years or 4 instead sure. of 5 years. But then when that free agency comes up and that guy goes, could have had me for 5. Sorry, I don't feel the love. I'm going to bounce anyway. It really does kind of put some power in the players' hands. It'll be interesting. It's not great for the league, in my opinion, when you have guys force their way out of situations simply for reasons that they just don't want to play there. Like the Houston thing with James Harden, I understood that one a little bit. I don't agree
with
it. Well,
you know, even like with Donovan Mitchell and, you know, wink, wink, yeah. he didn't ask for the trade. But, like, you get it. Like, the Jazz have decided they need to reset. And they need to do it right. And so yeah. I get that.
They did that once upon a time with a guy named Darren Williams.
Yeah.
Darren Williams, the time they traded him to New Jersey when they were the Nets, was one of the best point guards in the league. In fact, a lot of people thought the Jazz made the right decision for the first 3 or 4 years with taking him over Chris Paul. And a lot of Jazz fans wanted them to take Chris Paul. And, of course, New Orleans then got Chris Paul, and the rest, as they say, is history. He went on to the career he's had. But Darren Williams was not anywhere near the end of his playing days nor his all-star level of play. And Utah said, we can either toil in mediocrity with him as our point guard for the next 3-4 years where he's not happy, he's not going to give us the effort we need him to give, or we ship him out now, we get draft picks, we get young players. And there was one point where they had 2 lottery picks from 3 straight drafts.
Yeah.
And that's how you rebuild. Yeah, the 3 years that you're playing with those guys, the first 3 years of it kind of sting a little bit in terms of wins and losses, sure. But if your fan base has an understanding of the game and go, okay, we're building around these guys, then not every situation, that's why I tell people, man, the way the Grizzlies did it is pretty remarkable because not every situation turns out like that. In fact, most don't. In fact, most of the first 2 or 3 years you have a rebuild situation go very, very poorly. You have to make really, really good decisions and then get lucky too. And the Jazz did a little bit, but that was the catalyst for that. So, yeah, did Donovan Mitchell walk into the offices, the Danny Ainge's offices, and go, hey, I want out now. Like, get me out of here. I'm not doing this. No, he probably said, hey, look, you do what you think is best.
Right.
But if I can bring you X, Y, Z, what are you keeping me for?
Right.
You know, type thing. And Ainge is notorious for that. He did that in Boston. Remember,
yep.
He dumped all those guys way before their, you know, like a year or two at least before they were truly out of their prime. Now, it happened a little faster than people expected, but he dumped Pierce, he dumped Garnett, he dumped Ray Allen, he dumped all those guys that had helped them win a championship and went and just stockpiled draft picks. And for 2 or 3 years, the Boston Celtics were bad. Guess what the Celtics fans didn't do, though? They didn't bail. They didn't say, we're not going to go support this team, because they understood what was happening. Now, had they made terrible draft picks after that, yeah, eventually you go, okay, I'm tired of this. Now we're the Sacramento Kings. You know, we're not going to support a team whose front office can't get out of its own way because its owner can't get out of its own way. Something like that. I'm not specifically alluding to the Kings there, but whatever you want to use. But yeah, but the thing with players forcing their way out now is that's concerning is in Houston, it was the James Harden thing. They were going to have to rebuild. He knew it. Everybody knew it. That run was over. Okay, well, now you have a tradable commodity. You've got to make the most of it. But it's when your team is still good that guys just go, I don't like playing with this guy, or I don't like playing with that guy, or I don't like this coach, or I don't like this GM. And your team's pretty good, and you're one of the reasons why. That's the concerning factor.
Eric, we appreciate it. Good luck with the camp.
Hey, thanks. We got one more day left, and I'm actually pretty proud of the little guys. I have to stop them a little bit, but it's been fun, man. I enjoy getting to teach this great game that we all love so much.
Leader of men.
I wouldn't say there's a lot of young ladies in this camp now, too. Come
Leader
on now.
Of young men and women. Yeah, that's good. Coach K never let young women. Coach K never let young women. That's a great distinction.
How about teacher of proper shot form and dribbling skills?
There we go. Elbows in, gentlemen and ladies.
Elbows in. Tuck that elbow in.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. See ya.
That is Eric Hasheim.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.